29. If you're able to, if you'd please stand in the honor of reading Father's Holy Word. And we're going to begin reading verse number 12. And we are going to stumble over a whole bunch of names. So please forgive me for being horrible at it. 2 Chronicles chapter number 29, beginning in verse number 12. Then the Levites arose, Mahath, the son of Amasi, and Joel, the son of Azariah, of the sons of the Kohathites, and of the sons of Merari, Kish, the son of Abdi, and Azariah, the son of Jehiel, and of the Gershonites, Joan, of the son of Zimmah, and of Eden, the son of Joah, and of the sons of Elsaphan, Shimri, and Jehiel, and of the sons of Asaph, Zechariah, and Matatanai, and of the sons of Heman, Jehiel, and Shimei, and of the sons of Jedutha, Shimei, and Uziel. Verse 15, and they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and came according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. Lord, being our helper this morning, we'd like to bear our sermon on this thought, the need met head on. The need met head on. Abba Father, we do thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. And we do pray, Lord, for your blessings upon this time of the service here. Ask you, Father, that you'd please hide me behind the cross, Lord, and guide these lips of clay so that I will only say that which you'd have me to say, not what Dennis wants to say, as we certainly need your holy will and your holy word. We do pray, Father, for your blessings upon each and every one here, and we thank you, Father, for them, and I ask, Lord, that you give them an extra special blessing for being here today. And we do thank you, Lord, that so far it's been a good day in your house, and we're looking forward to seeing what you've got for us here in the sermon. Looking forward to heaven too, but that's side of the point. I do pray, Lord, for all the prayer requests that you take care of them also as you see fit. We ask you, Lord, for those who couldn't be here today due to illness or work, whatever the case would be, Lord, to be with them so they can join us back here at our next appointed time. We love you, Father, in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So the need met head on. Now, why would we title our sermon that? Well, last week we started this chapter and we dealt with the need. We dealt with looking at King Hezekiah as he showed the priests and the Levites that there was a need for them to go into the temple and for them to be cleaning it up. That inside the temple was all this damage, and inside the temple was all this trash, and all these idols had been brought in. And these boys needed to get together and go in and properly clean things up. They were the only ones allowed to go in there. Now, as we're reading here in verses 12 through 14, we found out that not everybody seems to have gotten on board right away. As a matter of fact, we don't even have the high priest of the time, his name listed here as we are reading through this chapter. So, there's a big job that needs to be done. And there's a few good men, a few good women in our time as well, who will stand up and say, I want to do what the Lord would have me to do. I want to be able to go forward, and I'm willing to sit down and clean up whatever needs to get done. I'm willing to do a little bit of sweat. I'm willing to use a little bit of elbow grease to get things cleaned up, made ready, so that we can go forward for the Lord God Almighty. Now, to bring up something that was brought up during our prayer request. Mary Lou has got surgery coming up here, and others have got surgeries coming up, and it's really thinning our normal group of people who does some work. And I'm not trying to disparage anybody, but what they're saying is we need some more people to stand up. We need some more people to come together to help out with that rummage sale there that's coming up in October, so that we can reach out to this community. We can let them know, hey, 29th Avenue is here to stay. 29th Avenue means business. And 29th Avenue wants to see your soul saved so that you're not going to spend one blasted second in hell. Because if you go there for one second, you're locked there for all of eternity. It is up to us to get our own spiritual houses in order so as that we can serve the Lord Jesus Christ the way He'd have us to. Even if we end up having to go to another state and get the job done, well, let's go and send those individuals back to their homes and ready to serve the Lord God. If the Lord ends up having us work together here for a little bit and then eventually move someone over to another church, let's send them there knowing how to get the job done, knowing how to go about serving the Lord God, meeting the need head on. I believe these boys, they got together and they says, I want to go and meet this need head on. King Hezekiah opened up the doors there to the temple and they looked in and they, oh man, look at that mess. But you know what they said, Dad? It's a mess we can work with.
Amen.
And we can get it done. Praise God, church, we can get her done. But it's up to the individual if they're going to get it done or not. I want you to know, first of all here, that we've got some unusual suspects. Unusual suspects. And I'm not going to reread verses 12 to 14 again. You want to hear that again? We'll have a sermon up on sermon audio here in a little while, and you can re-listen to that one, or you can get you Scobie or somebody and listen to them read that list. But praise God, as I said, not one of those names was the high priest at the time. His name was Urijah. He's not listed here. He wasn't willing to get back to worshiping the Lord God Almighty, even though he is high priest, and we'll deal with him in a moment here. What it comes down to is a bunch of second stringers, a bunch of third stringers, a bunch of backups, a bunch of nobodies had to get together and said, I'll do it. I'll go in there and I'll start cleaning. I'll go in there and break my back to be moving things around, to be rearranging the way things are supposed to be. I'm willing to go out there and stretch up as high as I can to clean those walls, to knock down those cobwebs. I'm willing to do it. It's not always the people we think should be doing it, church. Now, we got C.T. Townsend coming up here another week and a half or so, something like that. I'm looking forward to it. If you ain't heard him preach, go on sermonaudio.com and look up C.T. Townsend's name. You will find a whole bunch of sermons from him. Praise God, I've been listening to some of them. We've had him over at Sunrise. The boy can preach. Miss Becky brought up a couple weeks ago that he knows how to preach. Afterwards, she apologized to me. She said, I wasn't trying to infer anything to you. She said, no, I grew up, I hope I could be like C.T. Townsend. You can laugh at that, honestly. But I've told my mom so much about him, and I've told others so much about him. And my mom's not the first, but I'm going to pick on her a little bit. We stopped by the church here on Wednesday. And, you know, we got these flyers up on all the doors leading outside. And as we got done touring the church and we were walking out, Mom stopped and looked at that picture. And she said, I thought he was older. I don't blame her. She's, like I said, she's not the only one who has thought C.T. Towns is older. I says, no, Mom, he's like 6 or 8 years younger than me. He's mid-30s. Why would she think that he's older? Why would anyone think that this guy was older? I'll tell you why. Because this is a man who has dedicated himself to serving God. This is a man who's going out there, and it's not about, I am C.T. Townsend, hear me preach. It is about the Lord Jesus Christ, and He alone is worthy. And he's going out there, and he is presenting the Word of God to a lost and dying world. And he is doing his best. He has put his hand to the plow, and he's looking straight ahead. He's got himself a target in mind, and he's going out there. We might be sitting here thinking to ourselves, he ain't Billy Graham. How can he do it? He ain't Dwight Lyman Moody. How can he do it? He ain't Charles Spurgeon. How can he do it? Would it not be one of them? Would it not be one of their disciples that should be leading the next great revivals? May I say C.T. Townsend falls into the list of the unusual suspects. The guy who you wouldn't think from the backwoods of West Virginia would be able to go out there and preach a revival and have a tent meeting with 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people underneath it. A meeting so popular, you better show up at least 2 hours in advance if you want to see it. That's not these young whippersnappers nowadays, church. I'm from Generation X. So-called because the scientists and philosophers of our time don't know what our generation will do. The new generation was originally going to be named Generation Y. They must have took that literally because they became the millennials. And all they do is question everything and complain about everything. And they'll tell you how to be doing it even though they ain't got no experience. CT's from my generation. We shouldn't be doing nothing. We shouldn't be leading revivals. We shouldn't be seeing hundreds of souls saved during a meeting. We shouldn't be seeing meetings that go more than 3 days. Oh, good night. More than 3 days. 2 weeks. 8 weeks. The Burlington revival went 12 weeks a couple of years back, church. That don't happen no more. You can't do that. My God can.
Amen.
And He will work with the unusual suspects.
Amen.
Church, He can work with 29th Avenue as well if we'll meet the need head on. These boys here, they got together and they said, we are going to do it. Hezekiah showed us what the problem is. Woo! We're going to go out there and we're going to do it. We are going to put our backs to the labor. Are we willing to do it, church? I'm not asking you to go out and rebuild this building. I'm not asking you to come out here and knock a wall down and add a part to and add, you know, add onto the building. I ain't asking you to do that. What are you asking then, preacher? Get in your word and learn. I'll be quite honest with you. I went out and I made up a little plaque. And I attached it to this pulpit last week. This plaque reads these words, and I believe this is my commission from God Almighty here to 29th Avenue. 2 Timothy 2:2, "And the things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Church, I want to be an unusual suspect. And I want you to be as well. It can be done. And once the unusual suspects get going, we can see the undoing of sacrilege. If you want to hold your place here and turn with me over to 2 Kings chapter 16, I want to show you this boy here, Urijah. And we'll look a little bit here at King Hezekiah's dad, Ahaz. 2 Kings chapter number 16. Now Ahaz has found himself in trouble. He's under attack from all sides. Ahaz didn't turn to God, though, and ask God for help. No. Ahaz decided to go to this other king, the king of Assyria. And verse number 10 talks about after Tilgath-Pilsner helped out the Ahaz. And Ahaz goes to visit him. Verse number 10, "And Ahaz went to Damascus to meet Tilgath-Pilsner, king of Assyria, and saw an altar that was at Damascus. And King Ahaz sent to Urijah the priest," that means he's the high prophet, he's the high priest, "the fashion of the altar and the pattern of it according to all the workmanship thereof. And Urijah the priest built an altar according to all that King Ahaz had sent from Damascus. So Urijah the priest made it against King Ahaz came from Damascus. And when the king was come from Damascus, the king saw the altar, and the king of approached to the altar and offered thereon." Ooh. This ain't God's altar, church. "And he burnt his burnt offering and his meat offering and poured his drink offering and sprinkled the blood of his peace offerings upon the altar. And he brought also the brazen altar." This is God's altar we're talking about here, church. "Which was before the Lord from the forefront of the house, from between the altar and the house of the Lord, and put it on the north side of the altar." That altar belonged, church, on the east side. The entering in to the temple. It belonged there on that east side, not on the north side. Stay away from the north side. It's on the east side. Verse 15, "And King Ahaz commanded Urijah the priest, saying, upon the great altar burn the morning burnt offering and the evening meat offering, and the king's burnt sacrifice and his meat offering, with the burnt offerings of all the people of the land, and the meat offering and their drink offerings, and sprinkle upon it all the blood of the burnt offerings and all the blood of the sacrifice. And the brazen altar shall be for me to inquire by." put this to you this way? Could I just make this as simple as possible? That would be like me going out, getting a whore, moving her into my house and doing everything with her, and when I need advice, I'm going to go talk to my wife. That's not just me slapping my wife, that's giving her a backhand too and kicking her out the door. And that's what Ahaz did here. He went and he got him a spiritual whore and brought it into the house of the Lord God Almighty. He says, God, when I've got questions, I'll come to you. But everything else, this is my new one. How sick. How disgusting for someone of God's people to say, no, I want this God instead. I've already took and removed what's supposed to be the very first thing I come to and move it over there. But then I've replaced it with something else. Church, let me demonstrate to you why. Why that brazen altar there was the first thing you see when you come in. Because when God looks down upon the temple there, all the furniture, with the exception of the laver where that priest used to wash their hands with, which was actually off to the side, resembles the cross. Down here, that's the brazen altar. What's down here, church? Our feet. Some call our feet our foundation. What he did was he says, I don't want the foundation of God. I'll take something else and make that my new foundation. God, I'm thumbing my nose at you. I don't need you. I'll take something else. That's sacrilege, church. That's horrible. So what did these guys do here in 2 Chronicles 29? And they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and came according to the commandment of the king, but the words of the Lord, to just sit there and look pretty. I didn't get no amen, so I guess y'all don't agree with that one. How about this? To cleanse the house of the Lord. Amen. And does not the Bible talk about over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse 19, about how our bodies is the temple of the Lord if you are saved?
Amen.
And we are supposed to be clean. We are supposed to be getting rid of the sacrilege that we've brought into our lives. Amen. And what is sacrilege, preacher? It's anything and everything that will stand between you and God Almighty. It is anything and everything. I've done this before. Dad, don't get the big head. You're going to be God for just a moment. And this is something I've now placed between me and him. Y'all watch me. I picked it up and I moved over here. It was there. I put it over here. I've now put a stumbling block between me and him. I can't come to him. This is now sacrilege. It's a useful item. It's an important item. It gets the job done. But it's between me and him. I've made it more important than him. God says, get rid of it. Or I'll do it for you. Says, I don't believe God would do that. Oh yeah, go over there to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 6, verse number 1. In the year King Uzziah died. Read chapter 1 through 5 of Isaiah. All he's doing is sitting and writing down stuff. He ain't doing nothing. You get to chapter number 6, that's when he has a vision of God. That's when God says, who will go for me? And Isaiah says, behold, here am I, send me. King Uzziah had to be removed. And you study out the life of King Uzziah, and he came the closest to restoring the glory days of David and Solomon there to Jerusalem. But Isaiah the prophet had put Uzziah between him and God. And God says, I've got to move it out of the way. He's become sacrilege. Your children can become sacrilege. Can happen, church. Your loved ones can become sacrilege. This church building
can become sacrilege if we place more emphasis on it than upon God Almighty. Our jobs can become sacrilege. Our money can be sacrilege. Our cars can be sacrilege. Anything and everything that takes away from the honor and glory due to the Lord God Almighty is sacrilege. And God says, get rid of it or we're not going to be able to have proper fellowship. And if we don't have proper fellowship, you cannot have my power. You cannot go forward in my strength. And you cannot see success.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Get rid of that sacrilege. So what did they do?
To cleanse the house of the Lord. We're going to get rid of that false message and we're going to restore the altar to where it belongs. And when they started undoing the sacrilege, church, they got to unadulterating the sanctuary. Verse 16, and the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it and brought out all the uncleanness that was found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it to carry it out abroad into the brook Kidron. You'll notice it says there, and the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it. That word cleanse means to unadulterate. The root word is adulterate. I looked it up. I want to know what adulterate means. Well, it means to debase or make impure by adding inferior materials or elements. To use less than desirable goods to cheapen the quality. So the word unadulterated means to make pure and absolute. In other words, church, you don't get to sit here and hold hands with Satan and with God. It don't work that way. They got together and they said, we are going to clean it. And you'll note here that they started cleaning there where the priests were able to go. It wasn't that the Levites could go in there. It was only the priests who were allowed to go into the holiest of holies there and to cleanse it. And yes, they had to go into the holiest of holies because they had brought in idols and had placed them into the holiest of holies there where it was only supposed to be the ark of the Lord God Almighty. They had to get all the garbage out of there. Church, we already said that our body is supposed to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. What is in your heart today that needs to be gotten out? That's His sanctuary. He doesn't want to live in the broom closet. He can do it. He doesn't want to. He wants to have full access to everything inside of our hearts. But if we've got it all cluttered up with all this other junk, he can't move around. You ever dealt with kids and they've left their toys laying all over the place? It's hard to walk. I'll snitch on myself. When I was little, I used to take my Hot Wheel cars and deliberately hide them in my dad's work boots. He'd have to go out there and turn the boots upside down every time to dump the Hot Wheel cars out. I thought it was cool. I was hiding the cars in there. It weren't cool to his feet. It ain't cool to God when we've got our junk, our selfishness, our pride, our wants, our desires in His way. They came and says, we are going to unadulterate the sanctuary. We are going to clean it up. I thought it was interesting. It says, and the Levites took it to carry it out abroad into the brook Kidron. I got to thinking about that because the Kidron Valley is on the east side of Jerusalem. Over here on the west side, I didn't realize I should be doing that backward because you all are facing me. So, okay, east side over here, we got the brook Kidron. Over here, we've got the Valley of Hinnom, where Gehenna is located, the trash dump. It would make sense to throw the trash in the Valley of Hinnom and burn it. But the Bible says they took it over here to the brook Kidron. And I got to thinking about it. And why put it there? Are they just going to throw in the water and pollute their waterway? No. Turns out they brought it over there not to burn it, but to absolutely destroy it. And then, yeah, it can be thrown in the waterway and washed 20 miles downstream towards the Dead Sea. All that salt. God says, I'm going to flush it out. Remember we talked a couple weeks ago about those marshes and whatnot, that they were going to be turned over to salt. Get them out there. We're going to purify them the hard way. He says, we are going to unadulterate His sanctuary. Are we willing to do that with our own hearts?
Amen.
Verse number 17, we see the unceasing strategy involved. Now they began on the first day of the month. Now let's pause right there and back up and remember that over there in verse number 3, talking about King Hezekiah, in the first year of his reign, in the first month. Now we see here, they began on the first day of the first month. In other words, church, what I want you to realize here is after Hezekiah had those doors open and showed him, looky boys, the stuff that's inside of there, y'all need to get rid of it. They didn't say, all right, let's form us a committee and we will plan how we're going to do it. They didn't sit there and say, well, we need to have us a prayer meeting over it. Who's going to bring the casserole? They didn't say, well, let's sit here and fast. And everybody said amen to that one. We're Baptists. We like to eat. Laugh. Okay? They didn't get and waste time the very same day they got going. How much time are we wasting? Don't raise your hands to confess. I don't want to hear it. Confess to God. Get it out, done with Him, and let's get going forward. Because I've been there myself, okay? They began right away. Now they began on the first day of the month to sanctify, and on the eighth day of the month came they to the porch of the Lord. So they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days, and in the 16th day of the first month, they made an end. Let me point out just a couple of numbers here to you, because I like doing number studies as well. The number 8 is in reference to a new beginning. The number 16 is talking about love. And when you first look at that, it means absolutely nothing. Okay, new beginning, yeah, they just got done cleaning out. But let's not forget, in a spiritual sense here, what's a new beginning for us when we get saved? We got a new beginning. What's a new beginning for us, church? After we sin, we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We are now cleaned. We've got a new beginning. Let's get going forward for God. So we got the 8 days. It says in the 16th day, that's His love. That's His love that allows it to get done. But in the process of those 16 days, church, you've got 2 Sabbath days. Yes, I'm going somewhere with this. They can't work on the Sabbath days, church. It's a day of rest. It's there in the law itself. So that leaves us with 14 working days. And number 14 means deliverance. What do they need deliverance from, church? From their sin. What do they need deliverance from? From themselves. What do they need deliverance from? Their history. This is recent history, as a matter of fact. King Ahaz just left the scene there. Uriah's still sitting there stewing over what Hezekiah's ordering done. He's the high priest. They're sitting here saying, we need a new beginning. We need deliverance from all this stuff that we brought into our lives deliberately. And we're choosing now to get it out of our lives. And we're going to do it until the job is done. And they didn't start with the outside first and work their way in. You don't start with the outside first and work your way in because you're never going to get done. No one ever gets saved by first becoming a good person, all cleaned up and perfect, and then Jesus comes and saves them.
Amen.
Don't work that way. You say, I don't get it, preacher. Okay, ever go fishing? You got that fish there on the line. You start filleting it right there while it's on the line, still hanging over the water? No, you don't clean that fish till it's in the boat and maybe back up on shore. Actually, probably back up on shore. It's a proper order. We get ourselves messed up when we're out of order. Follow God's order and look what He'll do for us.
Amen.
I've already told you all, I want to start a series in the book of Acts. I am looking forward to it. I am chomping at the bit for it.
I wanted to start last week, I'll be honest with you. And the Lord said, no. And He put that thought in my mind about them going and cleaning up the temple and whatnot. I said, all right, Lord, we're going to go that way. And I started reading it, and I started studying. I says, Lord, You're not going to let me start next week, are You? And I can just picture Him saying, ah. All right, Lord, we'll stay in 2 Chronicles 29 as long as need be. If we got to go into 30 and 31, we'll do that too. Lord says, now you're cooking with the peanut oil. Now you're on the right track, son. Do them in the right steps. And don't stop doing it. Say, well, I'm tired. Well, don't quit. Say, I've got things to do. Don't quit. Say, I've got this coming on. Well, get done with what God's got for you. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't give in. Because every time you do, yeah, sometimes you have to start all over again. Yeah, sometimes you got to pick yourself up again. And that can be the hardest part of it, getting right back up. My left knee don't like me much, and neither do my feet. I kneel down, I'm working to get back up. I don't like it. Spiritually speaking, I don't like to get back up either. It takes more energy for me to get back up than it does for me to just keep on moving. We're all the same way. And I understand we're all the same way. We like to lay down and take naps occasionally. We're human. Don't quit, church. Stick with an unceasing strategy. Verse 18, we see the uncontaminated stuff. And I promise you, we're coming to a close. We should be done in about another 4 hours. Praise God, I finally laughed. Then went into Hezekiah the king and said, we have cleansed or uncontaminated all the house of the Lord and the altar of burnt offering with all the vessels thereof and the showbread table with all the vessels thereof.
Amen.
They uncontaminated. It was contaminated. Everything that Hezekiah had done, he had dumped all the utensils there that was meant to be used in the house of the Lord, and he thrown them in a corner there. Let them start being covered with cobwebs, with dirt. Let them start getting patina on the stuff that doesn't rust. The stuff that does rust, it started rusting out there. He took the altar of the Lord there, and he literally cut the legs out from underneath the altar of the Lord there so he could have that brass for his idols. And he placed the altar of the Lord on top of a bunch of stones. There's more than what I've read and told you about that Ahaz did. And yes, it's Ahaz, not Ahab. Ahaz! And they said, no, we're going to fix the stuff. What can't be fixed, we will replace. And what needs to be brought out for the Lord's use, we're going to bring that out. We're going to look at the cups, and even though King Ahaz's cup cost $1,000, and God's cup cost $50. God's cup is going right back into service, and the $1,000 cup is getting pitched. Melt it down if we can, destroy it, whatever the case is, but we're only going to use God's stuff. We're not going to settle. We're not going to compromise. We're not going to sit here and say, well, let me be diplomatic here. They're going to say and do the right thing.
Amen.
Church, I'll be honest with you. I think God's trying to challenge us. Read this list here of what they did in the altar of burnt offerings. They got the right altar back. They got back to the right service for the Lord. With all the vessels thereof, all the tools that were needed were properly cleaned, polished, and positioned so they could be used. And the showbread table, with all the vessels thereof, the showbread table tells us they got back on the right diet. I don't know what they'd been eating beforehand, but they said, you know what, we're going to start eating the good stuff. We're going to start eating what God said we're supposed to eat. Miss Maudie was talking about that bread that she gets over at Aladdin's and for her house and all that. Got me to where I want to taste it. I want to try that. I'm kind of looking forward to it. I can just picture these old boys sitting here saying, hey, you remember how it was before Ahaz? Remember how God moved in Israel's life back then?
I got a hunger for that. 29th, do you remember when you'd have to show up a little early if you wanted to get you a good seat, if you wanted to get your Baptist appointed seat? You remember that day? I know, it may have been a while. You think God can bring us back to that point again? Oh, yeah. You think we can get back to the point where we got a full-time piano player? Yeah. You think we can get back to having some other services? Yeah. You think we can get back to having to park out there on the street because the parking lots are full? Yeah. You think the preacher's nuts? Yep! I'm nuts for God.
Just a big dreamer.
I'm going to dream big. I might as well dream God. But you know what? It's more than just a dream, church. It can be our reality. If each one of us will meet the need head on. As Brother Jim gets a song of invitation, I've got just one question and a statement for you this morning. The question is simply this: are you meeting your spiritual needs head on? Or are you just sitting by watching? I can show you a whole bunch of churches where that's exactly what they're doing. They're just watching. I don't want to watch. I want to get moving. My statement is this: each one of us is required to maintain our own spiritual house that the Holy Spirit lives inside. I can't do it for you. You can only do it for yourself. Abba, Father, we thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. And we thank you, Lord, for even challenging us. It can be difficult at times because we're human and we just don't want to. It can easily go against what our feelings are. It can go against how we are just, we seem to have engineered ourselves to be against our grain. But as we all know, sometimes you've got to go against the grain if you're going to see results. And we want to see results, Father. And we're asking you, Lord, please, to help us to do just that. We want 29th Avenue to be a church on fire for God. We want people to come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We want to be able to reach out there and help our community. We want to be able to help one another. But we also understand it's going to all begin with each one of us as individuals putting you in the right place in our hearts. Help us, Lord, please. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen.